Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
It is raining throughout the area. Not very hard, but it is raining. First time this month it's rained, I think. Highs today of 82, then 79 tomorrow, 74 Sunday. Into the 70s for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then by Thanksgiving Day, highs of only 64 after a low of 50. So it will feel a little bit cool, and maybe you can wear a sweater to Grandma's house as you go to Thanksgiving, and then 66 for a high on Black Friday. A lot of buzz about the LSU new head coach. Tiger fans, keep it locked on WWL for the latest on LSU's search for the Tigers' next head football coach. We're going to bring you breaking news when it happens on air, online, and social media. Plus, listen to Sports Talk every weekday at 4 o'clock for up-to-the-minute reports, LSU insiders, and expert analysis. Brought to you by First American Bank, a banking tradition since 1910. For the latest on LSU, count on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. And Jeff Palermo, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network News Director, who joins us now. How you doing, Jeff?
I am doing well, Tommy. How about yourself?
I'm all right. Boy, the rumor mill is swirling, isn't it?
It certainly is. To think, a year ago on this date, we found out that the number one prospect in the class of 2025, Bryce Underwood, who was committed to LSU for a long time, decommitted from LSU and quickly committed to Michigan and eventually signed with Michigan. And fast forward a year, look at what has all happened, Tommy, to get to the point now where we may get some sort of strong indication on whether Lane Kiffin, the hottest coaching commodity, will get some sort of strong, hopefully, I would hope that just so we can kind of know what's going to happen, some sort of strong indication on whether Lane Kiffin will be the next head coach at LSU or is he staying? So hopefully that will be what will be the result of a meeting today between Lane Kiffin, the Ole Miss athletic director, and obviously other influential people involved with Ole Miss, the president, chancellor, whoever they have that will be involved in this meeting will be in there. And, of course, the big thing, whether you want to call it an ultimatum or not, I think the big thing that Ole Miss wants is some sort of clarity on what Lane Kiffin is planning to do with this coaching future.
So is it likely that Ole Miss, if Lane Kiffin says, look, I want the, you know, I know Florida is courting him too, right?
Yes, that's right.
So if Ole Miss says, if Lane Kiffin tells Ole Miss, look, guys, I'm going to LSU, and let's just say it's not Florida, I'm going to LSU, what is Ole Miss likely to do at that point?
That's a very, very good question, Tommy, and that's what we really don't know. I think Lane Kiffin feels like, I think what, if Lane truly wants to leave Ole Miss and wants to go to LSU or Florida, I think his message to those is, hey, I built this thing. I've been here for 6 years. We got this program to where we all dreamed that it could one day be. Let me finish it. And, then I'll move on. But will Ole Miss do that? Obviously maybe the knee-jerk reaction from Ole Miss officials would be, no, you can't. Get out now. We don't want a non-Ole Miss guy coaching our team through the college football playoffs. But it's not that easy. I mean, there's a contract, and I mean, they would have to fire him, and then you got a buyout involved and all this, even though probably whatever LSU and Florida would pay him would cover the buyout, but still, it would be a mess. So, it seems unlikely. It doesn't seem like it would occur because this is the SEC, and Ole Miss doesn't like LSU, and Ole Miss doesn't like Florida, that they would come to the agreement today of saying, okay, Lane, you can coach our team, and then whenever the season's over with, you can go on your merry way. I mean, that obviously, if cooler heads prevailed, that would be the scenario. I don't know if we get there. And then I just think the X factor in all of this is Lane Kiffin is just unpredictable. Mm-hmm. You just don't know. But if his family is giving him the blessing to take the job at LSU, I think he's taking the job at LSU.
See, because here's the thing. It would seem as though if he stays at Ole Miss, if he decides to take the LSU job and he stays at Ole Miss, you got a big recruiting conflict of interest there, don't you?
Well, here's the thing. I think this kind of also goes back. I mean, if he stays at Ole Miss, again, it's either way, it's all messy. It's not clean. But if he stayed at Ole Miss to coach the team through the college football playoffs, that's where you have Frank Wilson in place as the interim coach who could run the program, get you through that early signing period, get you prepared for the transfer portal window, which will open in January. He could do all that.
But what does Lane Kiffin do at Ole Miss? Recuse himself from any recruiting or NIL or anything like that at all?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think in the perfect scenario, he would just sit there and coach the team. Mm-hmm. he would just get the team ready, game plan for the opponent, all that kind of stuff, and Ole Miss would be going through its coaching search. But again, it's hard to fathom that's what would actually happen. I mean, that would be, to me, I think the perfect scenario for LSU fans. I think Verge Osbury and LSU would be fine with that. Mm-hmm. If he coached the team at Ole Miss through the college football playoffs and they just let Frank Wilson handle all the, the day-to-day operations of the team until Ole Miss is eliminated and Lane comes down to Baton Rouge, I think LSU would be perfectly fine with that. And again, a lot of the reason why they feel comfortable with that is, one, they're making a long-term investment in Lane Kiffin, mm-hmm. and two, they got Frank Wilson in charge. He knows what he's doing, and even through this period here of the interim, you could tell Frank's got a very good handle on the situation and is doing good considering the circumstances.
All right, let me take a break. To me, it seems like, all right, look, we're going to get married, but I'm going to live with my ex-husband for a while. Is that all right with you? No, it certainly is not. 6:21, we'll take a break. Come back with Jeff Palermo. Time now for traffic on WWL. Every Friday with Jeff Palermo is Rouse's Market Football Friday. Shop and save at Rouse's, the official supermarket of LSU. LSU is playing a football game this weekend, are they not, Jeff?
Yeah, they are. They are. Final home game in Tiger Stadium. We sit around all summer saying, we can't wait till football season. And now it's like, okay, we got this game here. I guess we got to show up. We got to go for some LSU fans. But it is another game for Michael Van Buren to show what he's got. It's good to see Garrett Nussmeier, by the way, has been ruled out. Mm-hmm. And it really seems at this point, Tommy, that he's probably taken his last snap as an LSU Tiger. But looks like Whit Weeks will be available to go. He has not played since that win over South Carolina back on October 11th. And so it'll be good to see Whit Weeks back out there. You get your emotional leader on defense, and he'll get to play with his older brother. I would imagine you're not going to see Whit Weeks out there taking every snap on defense, but I know this is a guy that really wants to play. I hear this a lot, I guess, from maybe cynical people saying, well, he's not playing because it's NIL and all this kind of stuff. I don't think that's the case with a guy like Whit Weeks, man. This kid, he wants to play football. He talked about it when he got ejected for that targeting call in the Florida game, about how you only get so many chances to play at Tiger Stadium, and the refs took one of those games away from you, away from him. So I know he's looking forward. He really wanted to get out there for that Alabama game. He thought he might have had a chance to play in that game. They gave it a couple more weeks, and so looks like he's ready to go here tomorrow night.
So let me ask you about the bowl game. What is it looking like, right? Because LSU's got three games left, right? They got Western Kentucky, they got Oklahoma, then they got a bowl game.
Right. Well, you're going to be in one of those lesser bowls again. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that kind of seems like where LSU's been stuck here for a while, whether you're, you know, the Texas Bowl or you're playing in Jacksonville or, you know, I mean, it's not going to be a major bowl. We'll see who the coach will be. We'll see what we get as far as, you know, opt-outs and all that kind of thing. But it just seems like whenever the we've talked a little bit about this, Tommy, you know, whenever the it was determined that, Nussmeier wasn't going to play, to me, this is just a big-time evaluation part for Michael Van Buren. Now, the next coach is most likely going to also bring in his guy out of the transfer portal, or may even bring the guy that he's coaching right now, and he brings him to the school that comes to LSU. But still, a big opportunity here for Van Buren, and I think for some of these younger guys at LSU, still also an opportunity for them to show what they got. So we'll see what happens Saturday night. It could be a weird atmosphere.
Yeah, see what happens today. Who knows? It could be a weird day today. Thank you, Jeff. Yes, appreciate it. Jeff Palermo, WWL.com, Louisiana Network News Director, 6:30. Time now for WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Ozan. 6:47 on this Friday morning. Rain maybe throughout the day. Not much of a chance, though. If you look at it hourly by hourly, 30% for 7 a.m., 15% for 8, 44% for 9, 30 for 10, 15 for 11 and 12. Then same for 1 and 2, and then by that time it's pretty much gone until this afternoon, and then maybe a very, very slight chance for showers. So really enjoy it while you can, because I don't know that we've had any measurable rainfall in November until now, and I know we certainly hadn't had that much in October. So it's been dry and we need the rain. Dub Lane joins us now. Walter Dub Lane, Associate Professor in Economics and Finance at my alma mater, UNO. Talk about Senator Cassidy's plan to put money into flexible spending accounts to offset the health care tax credits that were available during the Affordable Care Act. What? I don't know. Dub's going to straighten it out for us. How you doing, Dub?
Hey, good morning, Tommy.
Let's talk about what it is that Senator Cassidy is proposing and what it's going to look like to a person who tried to re-enroll for insurance, if it passes. This is just an idea at this point. But what is he proposing that would, and how would it affect people that whose insurance rates have gone up?
Well, under the COVID expansion plan for these individual policies for Obamacare, the federal government gave people basically a lot of money to help pay their premiums for the policy. What Cassidy is doing, he said, that big pile of money, instead of giving it to you and just giving it directly as a subsidy to pay your premiums for your policy, we'll give it to you as a lump of money that you can put into a flexible spending account, which, again, only can be used for healthcare services. And you can use it for lots of things. The interesting part of it is that one of the things you can't use it is for the premiums. So what people are really complaining about right now is that their premiums are, many of them, more than doubling. From going, having to spend $2,000 a year to now spending $4,000 a year on your premiums. And that would not change. So a lot of people who are complaining about seeing these higher premiums, because it's the time of the year when they have to sign up for next year, those would not change. Instead, if this plan goes through, they would have this big pile of money they can use to carry the deductibles or other expenses related to health care. So I don't know that this is going to make a lot of people happy in many ways. I will tell you, economists tend to like this because one of the complaints that we have against too much health insurance is that if you make things kind of free, if you cover everybody's premium, like for instance, like Medicaid, people on Medicaid obviously can't afford very much, but they don't have any deductibles or copays or premiums. And so that means it's basically free for them. If you make things free, people tend to overuse it. There was a real big study by the Rand Corporation a number of years ago that put people into different categories for insurance. Some of them got free insurance, and other people got a check to help pay for any of their expenses. But they had to, instead of having the copays when they went to the doctor, they would have this check in the bank. And it turns out the people that had free insurance used like 70% more health care than those who had to pay for it out of their own pocket, even though the government gave them the money in their pocket.
But there's an end result to that as well, right? Because isn't the argument also that if people don't have access to health care, then they get really sick, and when they get really sick, they wind up in an emergency room if they don't have insurance, and then the emergency room can't turn them away. And then the hospital can bill them, but if they don't have the money, they don't pay the bill, and then we all end up eating it.
That is part of the problem. But this particular issue is what economists call moral hazard. If you make things free, people love to spend other people's money. I think that's the way we like to phrase it.
Sure,
and
I get that.
If you're spending the government's money, yeah, you know, you're very free in consuming lots of health care. If it's your own money, even if it's in a flex spending account that you can save and use for other things, then people behave differently. That's what Cassidy's trying to achieve with this.
I guess I can see where if it's free, you're going to go to the doctor more often, even if you don't have to, or if it's free, you're going to go for well care. But we'll pick it up. We come back. Walter Dublin, Associate Professor of Economics and Finance at UNO, 652 Traffic Now, WWL. All right, 6:57 and a half. Quickly back to Walter Dublin, Associate Professor of Economics and Finance at UNO, talking about Bill Cassidy's plan, Dr. Bill Cassidy's plan for expiring health care subsidies. So, Dub, let me give you an example here. If with the subsidy I'm paying $600 a month for insurance, without the subsidy it's going to go up to $1,200, as far as my pocketbook is concerned, then what would my personal finances look like under Bill Cassidy's plan? If I'm paying $600 a month now, it would go up to $1,200 a month. What would I be getting?
Well, again, you would have some money in the bank. You'd still have to pay that $1,200, but you would have some amount, a fairly substantial amount, to pay your deductibles. Remember, because with that, if you buy the bronze plan, the deductible is as much as $6,000 a year. So, you know, the premium is one part of it, but the deductible is enormous for many of these plans. And so you would still have to pay the $1,200 a month for the thing. But then when it came time to go to the doctor, and you wouldn't have to pay out of the pocket, you could go into your health savings account and help pay the cover the deductible.
How is this going to affect what's coming out of the Treasury?
Well, again, that's the part the Republicans aren't very happy about, because it's about the same. In other words, they're just taking about the same amount of money. We haven't seen the exact numbers because there's no bill written yet. Mm-hmm. About the same amount of money as they were giving for the premiums, and instead putting it into a health savings account. So the cost of the government is about the same as what we have under this Biden plan.
Thank you, sir.
I mean, it does some things that economists and Republicans tend to like, which is helping people to spend their own money, so they'll be looking more for value, but it doesn't really save the government money.
It's not really their own money because it's coming from the government.
Going through.
Right. Gotcha. Thank you, Dub. Appreciate it. Walter Dublin, Associate Professor of Economics and Finance at UNO. It's the worst job you ever had. Text me, 504-260-1870. Thank you. In 710, quickly to John Sillars, Chief Strategy Officer for Second Harvest Food Bank. How you doing, John?
I'm doing great. How you doing, Tommy?
I'm okay, sir. How's everything at Second Harvest, and how big is the demand at this time of year?
Well, during the holidays, you know, we have a lot of demand for food. I mean, as we do throughout the year, as I've mentioned to you before, we're experiencing a food shortage that is being driven primarily by more people who are experiencing food insecurity in our service area, more than 436,000, and we're getting less USDA support. It's the less support this year is really equating to a little under 5 million meals worth of food that we're not getting. And so we need community support more than ever through financial donations, food donations. We're also ramping up our food rescue program, where we're going to retailers, manufacturers, as well as distributors to develop partnerships so we can get more food from them.
You know, I phrased that wrong, John, because I made it seem as though the demand was higher during the holidays, when I don't know that it necessarily is. You could tell me that, but I think people get more concerned during the holidays, but the demand is year-round. That's the point, is it not?
Well, the demand is year-round. What happens during the holidays is a lot of the celebrations that happen during the holidays are around the dinner table and food, and so it kind of brings it, not kind of, but it does bring the attention to, do we have enough to eat? And so that's really why we talk about food insecurity throughout the year, but also focusing in on the holidays. We are doing a number of distributions and partnership with partners who want to give back during the holidays. And so we're doing distributions throughout our service area. We did one yesterday in Cameron Parish. We're going to be doing one in the Lower Ninth Ward this weekend. And then even next Tuesday, we're going to be doing one in the Desire neighborhood as well.
What happened to the USDA support, John?
Well, it was due to federal policy changes that happened at the beginning of the year. And it means that Second Harvest, along with the other food banks throughout the nation, they're just getting less USDA support. They're not getting as much food. There's one of the programs is called Temporary Emergency Food Assistance Program. That is food that's distributed by the USDA to us, and then we push it out to our pantry partners. We're just not getting as much of it.
If somebody wants to get involved, John, how can they help?
They can go to no-hunger.org, where they can make a gift, where we will use that money to either purchase or distribute the food that we already have to our pantry partners. They can also donate food, or they can find out how to volunteer.
Due to economies of scale, is it better to donate cash than it is food?
Thank you for asking that, because yes, it is, because we can buy food at below wholesale prices. We get deals, and that's how we can really ramp up the scale. And so that's how we're helping our partners who otherwise have to turn and you know, you're talking about a small church pantry that they're going to have to buy food out of their own pocket, but we're able to distribute that food to them so they don't have to pay, so they can help more people in their community. And so that means that if you give us cash, we turn it into purchased food, and we send it out to those pantries.
We have to run, but I do want to bring this up. Since you said church pantry, the Archbishop was in court yesterday. The new Archbishop will be in court today. Not a cent of money has been sent from Second Harvest to have that has anything to do with that settlement, correct?
Not a cent.
Thank
Not
you, sir.
A cent.
Just wanted to clear that up. Thank you. And nor will it be. So your donations are going to go to feed hungry people. Thank you.
Absolutely.
John Sillars, Chief Strategy Officer for Second Harvest Food Bank. We'll talk about Friday Night Lights high school football playoffs with Ian Ozan when we come back. Coming up on 7:15, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Here we are, Tommy Tucker, WWL 717, joined by Ian Ozan. Week 12, WWL's Manning Family Children's Prep Football Roundup, presented by Acadian Companies and Dr. Pepper tonight, 7 to 10:30, getting to be that time of year. Ian Ozan?
Yeah, it is. Regional playoffs tonight, quarterfinals next week, semifinals in 2 weeks, 3 weeks from now, we'll be in the Superdome.
Tell me what's going on tonight.
So the big game tonight, the one Coach Lou and I will be at, is the Division I Select matchup, John Curtis against St. Thomas More. This game's intriguing for several reasons, Tommy. First, it pits the two winningest head coaches in Louisiana high school football history against each other. JT Curtis is number one, and depending on what numbers you go with, he's the winningest football coach in the history of United States high school football. Jim Hightower, not too far behind him. What's more is that these two teams and these two coaches haven't faced each other in 28 years. 1997 playoffs is the last time these two teams met on the gridiron. St. Thomas More has an idea, though, of what John Curtis is going to bring to the table, and that's because STM plays against Acadiana on an annual basis. Acadiana runs a veer offense similar to what John Curtis runs, but John Curtis likes to throw the ball a little bit more than Acadiana does. So the million-dollar question is, will St. Thomas More's offense get off to a slow start like they did earlier this year, or are they going to keep that rhythm they've had over the last 7-8 games and bring John Curtis the biggest challenge they've had really and truly since the St. Aug game a few weeks ago? But John Curtis loves that ground and pound. They love to run the clock. They like ball possession and controlling the clock. If they can hold on to the ball and keep St. Thomas More's offense off the field, they're going to have a good shot of winning the game tonight. This is a coin flip game. If you're in the area, get to the Shrine on Airline and watch it. This will be one of the better games happening in the state this week.
Tell me about the St. Thomas More offense. What are they like?
St. Thomas More likes to spread the ball around. Jim Hightower is a coach who has evolved as the game has evolved around him. They throw the ball. They're a younger offense this year. They had a ton of players over the last 2 years who graduated and moved out. So a new generation of Cougars have come in and they've made this team their own. Very athletic. They're very fast, but still rough around the edges. They started 0-3 this season. They've won their last eight, including last week's bi-district playoff game. So St. Thomas More has some momentum. John Curtis has to find a way to stop that momentum tonight.
And speaking of Acadiana, St. Aug has their work cut out for them tonight.
Yeah, they do. The Wrecking Rams bring that veer machine offense to New Orleans to play St. Aug at Tad Gormley Stadium this evening. Head coach Doug Dotson, who, by the way, is the son of Bill Dotson, who was the coach forever at Acadiana. He's in his first season with the Wrecking Rams. They got off to an 0-3 start themselves, losing to St. Thomas More in that run, but they've rattled off seven straight to win the district title. They won last week, and now they play a Purple Knight team that's been dominant. The only team that stood in their way this year was Edna Carr, and we all know what Edna Carr can do. Acadiana is passing the ball much more than they traditionally do. This is a team that used to never pass the ball in a game. This year, they're more balanced, about 50-50. If the Purple Knights defense can do what they've done and average about 21 points given up per game, this should be an easy game for them. But don't count the Wrecking Rams out. This is a sneaky good team. They're young, but they're well coached, and they have momentum on their side.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up with Rummel when we come back. 721 traffic now, WWL. All right, Tommy Tucker, 726. Time is short. The list is long. Rommel, Carr, Jesuit, Shaw, Brother Martin, Mandeville, St. Paul's, Bell Chase, you name it. The stage is Ian Ozan. Tell us about those Friday night lights.
Absolutely. And tonight, we've got a lot of games in the local area we're paying attention to. St. Paul's is on the road at Evangel. This is going to be an even matchup. Brother Martin goes to Alexandria. Bonneville, their magical run probably comes to an end tonight in Lafayette when they play Turlings. But it's been a good run for them. Bonneville, expect them to be hot next year as well. By the way, if Rummel and St. Aug win tonight, they'll play each other next week. So do keep that in mind.
Okay.
Destrehan host Ouachita Parish tonight. Hanville on the road to play Parkway. That's in Bossier City, for those of you keeping score at home. Mandeville traveling to Monroe to play Neville. That game might be one of the upset specials of the night. Mandeville might hang or possibly upset Neville. This is a more even matchup than that 2-18 matchup indicates.
Okay.
St. Charles hosts Northside of Lafayette tonight in Division II Select. Also in that division, E.D. White hosting St. Michael of Baton Rouge. Archbishop Shaw hosts Haynes Academy. Vanderbilt hosting Carver. And JFK goes to Madison Prep in Baton Rouge. That more than likely is going to be a track meet. You may see a basketball score there tonight.
Wow.
In Division II Non-Select, Lakeshore hosts last year state champion Cecilia. Brent Endes, the head coach of Lakeshore, knows Cecilia well. He coached in that part of the state for forever and a day. Fun matchup. Both teams like to play in the trenches and like to run the ball a lot. Bell Chase hosting the state champion from 2 years ago, Opelousas. Franklinton hosts Jennings in an 8-9 matchup. Lutcher travels to Franklin Parish. Division 3 Select, Northlake Christian, their toughest test of the year. They get Dunham, who may have pound-for-pound the best quarterback in the state in Elijah Haven. Newman gets Holy Savior Menard from Alexandria. The winners of those two games play next week. Jules Sumner, they'll probably slaughter Community Charter. Jules Sumner should run over them. That probably will be a running clock. Country Day goes to Shreveport to play Calvary. Amit goes to Lafayette Renaissance Charter. Lafayette Renaissance Charter has a high seed. Amit should beat them only because of the experience factor and strength of schedule. And De La Salle, they go to Notre Dame and Crowley. If De La Salle pulls off a victory, that would be the perfect definition of an upset. Division III non-select, St. James hosts Manny. That probably will be a bloodbath. St. James, they had a running clock before halftime last week. I expect the same this week. Delta Charter in Division IV Select, they're going to come from Faraday back to the New Orleans area. They beat St. Martin's Episcopal last week. They'll play Riverside this week. Now, Riverside's been off for 2 weeks. They had a bye last week. They had a forfeit the week before. So I'm wondering how that's going to impact them, but I'm still expecting Riverside to win this comfortably. And Kentwood goes to Youngsville to play Ascension Episcopal. Ascension Episcopal has the high seed here. This is an upset in the making, though, because Kentwood is more experienced. I think they have more size than Ascension Episcopal does, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Kangaroos go into Youngsville, pull off the upset, and come back to the North Shore playing in the quarterfinals next week.
I know you're an official. For those that don't know what a running clock is.
Yeah, for a running clock, this was instituted about 3-4 years ago in Louisiana. When a team gets a 42-point advantage, the clock runs any time the ball is in play, from the kickoff after the preceding score to the end of the game. The clock continues to run unless there's a timeout or an official stoppage on the field. And even if the trailing team comes within 42 points of the lead, the clock still runs. So once that happens, game's in quick and teams are put out of their misery relatively quickly.
All right, Ian, we'll be listening tonight. You and Lou Valden, my former classmate, do a great job with the Manning Family Children's All-State. No, I can't say that right. Manning's Family Children Prep Football Roundup presented by Acadian Companies and Dr. Pepper. It was All-State for so long, that's why I say that. 747, 13 till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Rain on and off today, but not a washout or anything like that. Just enough, really, to get the car dirty. David Beard joins us, Director of Immigration Studies at the Cato Institute. ICE is, or Border Patrol is getting ready to start their operation here. They said they're going to arrest 5,000 people. I don't know where that number came from. If it's supposed to be 10,000, then it should be that. If it's supposed to be 500, then it should be that. I don't know how they came upon an even number of 5,000. David Beard, tell me what's been... Good morning, first of all, to you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, sir. Tell me what's been going on in Chicago and, as far as we know, Charlotte. Do we know anything about Charlotte yet?
Only very preliminary, estimates on the number of people arrested, a few hundred. In Chicago, it was a couple thousand. I don't know where they're getting 5,000. In New Orleans, they'd be overachieving there. Perhaps they have more agents there just because, you know, there's a big port there and there's some other people that they could pull into some of these operations. But yeah, I mean, what we're seeing in Chicago, similar to LA, these operations are not targeted. They're street level, people want to call it racial profiling. It's profiling of some kind, whether it's racial or not. That's subjective, but they're going down the street. They're interviewing people. They're asking for documents. They're stopping cars. And it's producing arrests, but not many deportations because the people they're arresting haven't gone through the court process. So most of the people are, you know, either sitting in detention centers right now or they've been already released because, you know, the detention centers are full. They know they're not going to be able to deport them for a while because they're getting attorneys and they're presenting their cases. And if you look at the numbers, only 2.6% of the people they arrested in Chicago had a criminal record. So it's not targeted toward the worst of the worst or the gangbangers. And so I would say it hasn't been the best use of resources in this effort for deportation. There are a lot of people, you have to understand that there are a lot of people who do have criminal records who are out there, but they require more resources to go track them down, actually, you know, figure out where they are, use some intelligence to get to them. And right now that is being diverted toward these kind of sweeps at car washes and Home Depot and everything else.
You know, somebody texted in, I don't know, what is your uproar on this Border Patrol situation? Bottom line, if you're here illegally, you have nothing to worry about. I don't have an uproar about it. My problem is I don't want you to pee on my leg and tell me that it's raining. If, again, where does this number 5,000 come from? If who are we trying to get? And again, it goes to the efficacy of the operation, because if we're doing the old Fred Flintstone thing where the detention centers are full, so we're arresting them and letting them loose, then it seems like you could keep doing this forever and ever and ever, right? Lather, rinse, repeat?
Well, absolutely. So, I mean, there's two different ways to measure the effect of this, right? I mean, one is the number of arrests, and really the number of deportations is the better measure there. And so because they're not targeting the people who have removal orders, the people who have criminal records who can, you know, be expedited through the process, you end up with a lot of people who don't end up being deported. And the other part of this, of course, is that because they're not targeting specific individuals who they know are here in the country illegally, they're wasting huge amounts of time with people who are here legally, who are American citizens.
So,
you can absolutely make a connection between the amount of resources that they're spending trying to vet, you know, just random people on the street, everyone at a construction site, versus going and finding the people who have criminal records who we're most concerned about. It doesn't matter. You might want every single person deported who's here illegally, but you should really start with the people who are posing a threat to others.
Yeah, let's talk about that when we come back. 751, we're talking to David Beard, Director of Immigration Studies at the Cato Institute. People that are very passionate about this, one or two people keep texting in repeatedly, and I'm not against people being deported at all. I'm against theater that waste resources when they should be targeting the people that are under a removal order, as David Beard just said, and they aren't. So we got this repeating thing going in where, just like when you arrest somebody when they come into the country, you detain them, then you let them go. It seems like that's what's happening here. If the detention centers are full, then you're arresting them and you're letting them go. Well, guess what? You could have the same theater tomorrow. You can go out and arrest them again and detain them for a second, and then they'll go again, like I said, like Fred Flintstone putting a cat out. 752, 8 till 8. Traffic now, WWL. Hi, 9:57 to have Tommy Tucker, WWL. Quickly back to David Beard, Director of Immigration Studies at the Cato Institute, talking about the immigration raids that have happened.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
happened in Los Angeles and Chicago and Charlotte and getting ready to start here. Tell me about these people that are under a removal order and how they're not being targeted, and how would Border Patrol go about finding out who they are and targeting them?
Yeah, I mean, you got over 200,000 individuals with removal orders who can be removed
immediately. What is a removal order, David? Tell me what that is.
A removal order is something issued by an immigration judge who says, yes, you're in the country illegally. There's no recourse for you. You don't have any way to stay legally. You got to go. And if Immigration and Customs Enforcement doesn't immediately remove them, then they can hang out in the system. If they didn't attend the court hearing, then there was no way to arrest them in the first place. So there are a lot of people out there like that. And then in addition to them, there's about 500,000 individuals with criminal records who can also be expedited through that court process as a result of that criminal record. So you can have a process to get those people out very quickly. For people without criminal records who you don't even know, okay, there's nothing on the books about them, there's no removal order, it takes much longer and results in people being released.
But still, over 200,000 can be removed immediately, yep, because they're under removal, yep, orders. They're talking about, yep, 5,000 here, 600 detained by ICE in Chicago, only 16 have criminal histories. It seems as though, and I'm not trying to demean anybody, yep, here, but it seems as though we got a lot of theater going here and we're not actually getting results. Is that accurate or not?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're making a lot of arrests, but not accomplishing much in terms of the deportation campaign or in terms of public safety.
Do you want people that are under removal orders to be here in the country, David?
Well, it depends. I mean, I think that at the end of the day, people should have an opportunity to immigrate legally. So if they go home and they're married to a U.S. citizen and there's some reason for them to come back, yeah, we should welcome them back.
Right, but I'm saying if they're under the deportation order, well, then those are the people that should be deported and removed, not the people that you just want to go out and
absolutely. Legally, they should be deported.
We'll be
the
back.
Reality is there's a lot of people out there with criminal records who are higher priorities.
8:15 now on this Friday morning. A lot of rumors in the air, a lot of everything in the air. Mike Dettelier joins us now. Before we talk about the Saints and the Falcons, do you hear anything about LSU, Mike?
Well, certainly has heated up big time with Lane Kiffin. And because of, you know, he was supposed to have a meeting today with the athletic director at Ole Miss. And I think we'll get some pieces of clarity today, one way or another.
I know you're friends with Coach O. Is there any shot that he would come back?
He said that I had him on 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
He said he would be open to come back to LSU if the right opportunity presented itself. Him and Lane go back a long time. They were coached together at USC. He coached at Ole Miss. And then when he got fired, 1 year with the Saints. But then he joined Lane's staff at Tennessee that 1 year. And then Lane left to go to USC and joined him there again. So there's a lot of connections between him and Lane Kiffin. He was highly complimentary of Lane a couple weeks back in saying that he thought he was the best play caller he had ever been around as far as offensive football was concerned, and made the comment, I'm a line guy. You know, my specialty is, you know, what happens up front. Lane looks at all 22 guys, and he said he's a genius sort of doing that.
All right, let's talk about the Saints and the Falcons offense against the Saints defense.
Well, it's going to look different. No Michael Penix in the lineup because of the knee injury that he'll have surgery, and looks as though no Drake London either, who's really one of the elite receivers in the National Football League. They're going to go heavy with the running game to protect Kirk Cousins. And, you know, Kirk, ever since the Achilles injury, has not moved around very well in the pocket at all. And he was never really, what you want to call it, say, a mobile quarterback, but he always had a little bit of movement left-right. Now he's, they don't have him anymore, but he's a phone booth quarterback. Mm-hmm. I know where he's at. He's in the pocket. So my big thing is to stop the two guys, Bijan Robinson, who's one of the best in the business at running back, also a terrific receiver coming out of the backfield, and the hammer, Tyler Allgeier, who's had some great games against
the
Saints.
Yes, he
has. And so you know what it's all about. It's about stopping the run at this stage. And if they can do that, you can put a lot of pressure on Kirk Cousins. My thing is try to blitz him right up the middle, put pressure on him. He's not a movement guy, and kind of influence that pass.
Tell me about the Vikings. I think Kirk Cousins. Tell me about the Falcons' offensive line.
Well, they've had some changeover because they lost their longtime center, Drew Dolman, in free agency to the Chicago Bears. And they brought in, he's an undrafted free agent. He's done a solid job there, but he's no Drew Dolman. I try to attack them right up the middle, right over the top of the center. Their offensive line's really built to run the football. And it's been sort of weird, Tommy, to watch them because of the fact that at times it looks impressive for them because of those two running backs. And because of Drake London, too. When they need something, I go to that 6 foot four and a half receiver. But he won't be in the lineup. So who do they go to, you know, when you need a third and nine or maybe a third and long situation?
Tight ends?
Well, could that be Kyle Pitts? And you look over the last dozen years in the SEC, he's one of the signature players. He was a tilt-the-field guy at the University of Florida. He hasn't done any of that. And he's just caught a handful of passes the last couple of weeks. Now, against the Saints, he's got to play a bigger role. But first things first, you know what they're going to lean on, and that's going to be Bijan Robinson, Tyler Allgeier running the football. Darnell Mooney, who had a great year a year ago. Yeah, I don't know what's the best term to use, but he's almost been a shell of himself this year as a wide receiver, former Tulane wideout. Everything is sort of misjointed with the Falcons on both sides of the football.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back. We'll talk about the Saints in offense and Falcons on defense. Mike Dettelier, our guest every Friday morning, is Rouse's Football Friday. Rouse is the official supermarket of the Saints. 820 traffic now on WWL. 824 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Mike Dettelier, WWL NFL analyst, co-host of Sports Talk. Mike, real quick, you remember the worst job you ever had?
I was a teenager. my dad worked at Bollinger Shipyard. And so during the summer, when they would sandblast a boat or something, it was to remove the sand from that particular area.
And that's what you were doing?
In the middle of the summer. It was
pretty miserable.
It wasn't the most pleasant deal, put it to you that way.
I can imagine it wasn't. But it got you to get an education, didn't it?
It got me extra money. That's what I was worried about at that time.
All right, let's talk about the Saints on offense against the Falcons defense.
Falcons defense has been feast or famine. They have been one of the leaders, Tommy, in getting pressure on the quarterback. And especially over the last 3 weeks, they've put up a ton of sacks. They've also given up a ton of big plays in the secondary. They're a team that they were worried about stopping the run before the season started, and it's still an issue with them. Teams were trying to throw the football on them. Now they try to run it. But it's been either really good or really bad with the Falcons on defense. Got a couple of young stars there for them eventually. And Jalen Walker at linebacker, James Pierce, the pass rusher. Their best player, Caden Ellis, former Saints linebacker. Man, talk about a guy who has really developed into a top player in the NFL. It's been Caden Ellis, not only against the run and as a pass rusher, but, and we saw it here his last year, his ability to drop in coverage. He's really good. But, again, similar to their offense, there's been a lot of hits, and there's been a lot of misses. And it's all over the board for them. Pass protection's key against them because they're coming after you and they send an extra people.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't play with any confidence at all in anything they do. It's sort of a weird team because they were really built to make a run at this in the NFC South. And it hasn't happened. And it's Jen Hale, who's on with us quite a bit, mm-hmm. and she does the preseason games for the Falcons. And last week she made a comment to me that I wonder if their season ended in Berlin. Because she said it almost felt like all the air came out of their balloon, football-wise.
For people that don't know what that means, Mike, explain to them.
In essence, they went to overtime against a very good Indianapolis Colts team. Mm-hmm. They had put a lot into beating the Colts. And then finally the coach figured it out. You know what the hell with this throwing the ball? They gave the ball five straight times to Jonathan Taylor, and he scored on the final run. And her deal is, I just got a feeling that maybe that was the final sort of strike.
Hmm.
And then you lose Penix for the year. Then you lose London for a period of time. And you've got some injuries. And they've got talent, but it has not meshed at all. It's an interesting point. And I do think the Saints win this week. If they win, beat the Falcons, this team is in major free fall.
Do you think it comes down to a field goal like it always does?
No, I think maybe a little bit more than that for the Saints.
Really?
Yeah, just a gut feeling for me. And finally, Monday, Bob said, Mike, you're finally going to pick the Saints to win. Because I've only picked them twice this year. Once against the Giants, and once I thought they would beat the 49ers. Early on in the 49ers and still have a ton of injuries. And they had a shot, didn't do it. No, I think the Saints win this game. It could be 6 points or more.
So tell me about what you expect to see out of Tyler, what you would like to see out of Tyler Shuck this week.
He is going to have ups and downs, just like any other young quarterback. But, man, you see a lot of good upside with him. And that if you can protect him, you're going to be able to hit some big plays on the Falcons. But you got to be patient a little bit. I would try to run the football again. That is your young quarterback's best friend, or even an old quarterback's best friend, being able to run the football. Falcons haven't done a good job stopping the run. And then you get into some situations where if they respect the play-action pass, I can hit that pass downfield in that middle range part of the football field. I just think the Saints win a game like 24-20, 24-17, somewhere in that range.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. Saints and LSU fans, you can meet Mike Dettillier and the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, this afternoon at Rouse's Market in Metairie from 4 until 6. They'll count down to the big matchups for the black and gold and purple and gold. And if you have family or friends coming over for the holidays, stop by, say hi, stock up on everything you need for Thanksgiving dinner. You can huddle up today, make groceries with Haas and Dettillier at Rouse's Market. This is one of 2,900 vets, 4 till 6 on WWL, always live on the free Odyssey app. We'll take a break, come back and talk about a jobs report. Right now it's time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Ozan. 844, 16 till 9. We're asking you to text in 504-260-1870. Tommy's top five today of what is the worst job you've ever had in your life, or even a job you'd hate to have. Mark Hamrick joins us now, Bankrate senior economic analyst. Talk about jobs in a different kind of way, the delayed September jobs report. How you doing, Mark?
Doing well, my friend. Happy pre-Thanksgiving.
Yes, sir. On a lighter note, do you remember maybe in your career somewhere the worst job you ever had when you were coming up as a kid or whatever?
I've been remarkably fortunate, Tommy, but, so I don't really have any experiences like that to share. I will tell you briefly that, you know, I grew up in Kansas. My dad was a newspaper editor, and he thought all journalism outside of the newspaper was, let's just say, subpar. Mm-hmm. And so he told me I needed to be a newspaper delivery boy. And either that or gave me the option of picking peaches down the road in the Kansas heat. Well, I began to hang out at the local radio station when I was about 15. and avoided that peach picking and the newspaper boy job. So I've been blessed to have had a career that probably defied my dad's expectations.
At least you avoided the peach picking, right?
Exactly.
Tell me what the delayed September jobs report showed.
It shows that the job market is not robust, but it's also not cratering per se. And there are really two conflicting headlines here. One is that we had better than expected jobs creation in September. This is a PS report, pre-shutdown, and we know that lasted for 43 days. The one that is concerning, the unemployment rate continuing to rise to 4.4%. Remember that had bottomed out in the mid 3% range a while back. That's the highest since October of 21. Elsewhere, we had a contraction now in retrospect because we get these revisions of the previous 2 months with every report. And so with the decline in payrolls, a modest one in August, coupled with the contraction in June, we've now achieved something in the dubious category that was last achieved in 2020 and 2010, and that is 2 months of payrolls contraction. And so 2020 was, of course, the pandemic shutdown year and the reopening, and 2010 coming out of the great financial crisis. So what I would say, it's a very uneven economy, a very uneven job market, and this is a story that shows healthcare, social assistance, they did the heavy lifting once again in jobs creation. That's not the backbone of a very strong job market. Leisure and hospitality raise a glass to food and drinking establishments. And we want all those people out there to do well, but that's not going to be what's going to, you know, keep the economy flexing its muscle.
What is the backbone of job creation and what keeps the economy flexing its muscle?
Well, first of all, I would say more clarity, less uncertainty, less volatility. And we've had all of that in spades so far this year in the sense of, you know, what do the tariffs mean? When are the tariffs going to hit? How does that affect consumers? How does that affect business? Oh, the shutdown comes, right? And now our elected officials in their finite wisdom decided to fund the government only through January 30th. So that Damocles is going to be hanging over us again with at least the fear that there could be another shutdown. But I think that we have to also celebrate our wins here in the sense that the U.S. economy has been remarkably resistant. And that is true of the moment with, you know, complaining about a national unemployment rate of 4.4% in a sense, because we've obviously had a much worse time in macro measures of the economy in the past. So, you know, I would just say if we can get some consistency, including with the tariffs, and it does seem to be leveling out at a lower level where the worst case scenarios have been averted. But we know this is a tool the president likes to wield quite aggressively, and all it takes is, you know, one country to seemingly aggravate him where, you know, we get a social post and then everybody's saying, oh, what does that mean? Of course, in the positive sense, you know, we just had the announcement about the reversal of tariffs affecting many foods, which is, you know, is important. We apparently have realized that we cannot subsist on American-grown coffee and bananas, okay? Which, in other words, we are dependent on many of these things coming in from outside the United States. So, you know, I think there are reasons to be potentially optimistic about 2026. The tax cut's going to hit. There's going to be bigger refunds going into people's bank accounts from their federal income tax returns. And if we do get tariffs that are sort of consistently at a lower level, and perhaps we get through the so-called one-time price adjustments that occur related to them, maybe we can put some of the worst of the inflation impacts behind us and make further progress. That, I mean, you know, I would always pray for that kind of an outcome.
All right, let me take a break. Somebody texted in and said, I don't understand what downward revisions to payroll means. You can explain when we return. We're talking to Mark Hamrick, Bank Rate Senior Economic Analyst. Somebody else wants to know, when will we know the true story, the true result of tariffs, if ever? 850, 10 till 9, traffic now, WWL. 8:56, 4 till 9, Tommy Tucker. Couple of minutes left with Mark Hamrick, Bank Rate Senior Economic Analyst here on WWL, talking about the September jobs report being a kind of mixed bag. Somebody texted in and wanted to know about downward payroll revisions. What does that mean?
Yeah. So basically, there are two legs to the monthly employment report. The first one's the simplest, the unemployment rate, the percentage of people who are in the workforce who don't have a job. The other is how many jobs were added or lost. And so that's the payrolls portion. That is a survey of establishments, including businesses. So we got the September report, the pre-shutdown report, but that also contains essentially, let's say, a revision or improved statistics on the previous 2 months, because there's been more time to survey people, get more responses from those earlier surveys, because, you know, these are people that have to respond to the surveys, whether they're business operators or people who are in their households. And so that uptake in survey responses obviously improves over time. And so then the government gets a more complete picture. And so it's always 2 months lagged with the revisions, meaning the improved statistics. And so for July and August, we get the improved statistics relative to what was earlier released, and those are the revisions. And so we're talking about payrolls, the number of jobs added or lost on the part of enterprises, establishments, including not-for-profits and governments and the like. And so now we know that in August, payrolls contracted or shrunk. And that is essentially the story with what happens with revisions. It's simply that over time, we get more data and therefore can make additional assumptions and analysis of what had been happening several months ago.
Let's talk about tariffs and when do we know if they worked, if they didn't work, who they hurt, who they helped?
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm just getting ready to write something here today about, let's begin with the good news. The cost of Thanksgiving food is estimated by the American Farm Bureau.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Federation to be down 5% this year. And as the family's chief cook, bottle washer, and grocery shopper, I can tell you the promotional opportunities out there, for example, on frozen turkeys are amazing. Many grocery stores are cutting those prices just to get you in the store. But my colleague Sarah Foster is also doing a story that appeared on our site about holiday essentials, and she's finding that 78% of holiday staples are costing more because tariffs are pushing goods prices higher. So this is still a work in motion. We're going to be figuring this out next year as all this continues to play out.
Thank you, Mark. And jobs report for October is due or delayed?
Not happening. Really, the one to watch is the November release. That comes in mid-December, a bit delayed.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time and your insight. As always, Mark Hamrick, Bankrate Senior Economic Analyst. I'm glad you were able to avoid that peach picking, too, because I don't think that would have been any fun at all. We're asking you the worst job that you've ever had, 504-260-1870. Still some time to get yours in, and we'll have the top five for you after 9 o'clock. We'll also talk with Ian McNulty about eating and drinking. We'll talk with JR, get you some weekend winners, keep an eye on the LSU coaching system. All that coming up right here on WWL. All right, thanks for everybody who took part in today's survey. We're not going to take a break. We're going to talk to Ian McNulty right now, who covers food and dining culture for the Times-Picayune, New Orleans Advocate. How you doing, Ian McNulty?
I am doing great, Tommy, and great to be on the greatest job in the world, frankly.
You got that right, especially both of us.
Especially right now, talking with you about the things that we can all come together on and agree on, that food and drink and culture is one of the peaks of experiences, and we are living in a valley rich with them. A couple things that I definitely want to get to today. Mm-hmm. A really special restaurant in Metairie that I want to tell people about. It's brand spanking new, a great place in Mid-City near the Trader Joe's that is a do not miss. And I want to talk a little bit about Thanksgiving and open things up for folks. But first, I got to give a shout out to an amazing event I went to last night. I had not been to before, and I'm never going to miss again. It was called Shuck Cancer. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that very carefully, Shuck Cancer. Mm-hmm. It was at Champion Square, right in the shadow of the Superdome. And it is a fundraiser for cancer causes for the American Cancer Society that is all about oysters. And it was fantastic. If you've been to Champion Square, you know it's a big, you know, kind of feels like a plaza, kind mm-hmm. of a square, right? And well, it's called Champion Square. Good branding.
But it's not square. You know, neither is Madison Square Garden. For that.
Right. Yes, I guess the Champions shaped with many different angles probably mm-hmm. didn't roll off the tongue as well. It is, but it was filled with oysters of all different sorts. Many from around Louisiana and the Gulf Coast, many traditional varieties, but plenty of the cultivated ones that you and I have talked about that are appearing on more and more menus. They're local oysters, they're Louisiana oysters, Mississippi oysters, or Alabama oysters, but they're grown in that style that's more common on the East Coast and the West Coast. So they're a little more refined, frankly, a nicer oyster. Next to the big boys, the traditional St. Bernard Parish Mud Rock big boys. But the variety was amazing. There had to be, I'm pulling this out of the top of my head, 15, 16 different types of, they're farms. There are different oyster growers all representing their particular variety. Next to restaurants from all across town, all kinds of bar, lots of wine bars, a great crowd. Everyone kind of dressed up for the, like, not quite chilly, but not hot weather. And it was a tremendous success. And if you're an oyster lover like me, you'll want to be there next year. So I'm already putting on my calendar for a whole year from now, because I can't believe that I had not been through it before. And hats off to all the people who made it happen, who took part in it. And it really did kickstart my appetite for oysters a little later in the season than usual. But I've been kind of holding back a little bit, but now I know the floodgates are open, and I'll be seeking out oysters near and far from here on out. So it was a great event. Shuck Cancer, congrats to everybody, and really, really a tremendous foodie event on top of the cause. So
awesome.
That was a great one. Now, speaking of cause, I wrote this week about a new restaurant called St. Mary's, where I found something that people ask me for frequently, including on the show, a full Irish breakfast. You know what a full Irish breakfast is,
well,
right?
I know it's got pork and beans, right? Are you being serious now, or are you joking?
Yeah, I'm being serious.
No, it's got pork and beans, got Canadian bacon, if I remember correctly, or a ham or something like that.
Yeah, that's what they're calling the rasher. It's Irish bacon.
Okay.
It's somewhere between American bacon and ham.
It's not what you would get at IHOP, I'll tell you that.
Right. Sure. Yeah.
So tell me I was guessing, but go ahead and tell us what it is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there must be like half Irish breakfast out there or partial Irish breakfast, but what everyone wants is the full Irish breakfast, which is this platter that is just, you know, designed around a morning following a night that perhaps had one pint too many. It's eggs, it's beans, it's rashers, which is that bacon, it's bangers, these slippery
bangers,
little sausages.
Sure.
Bangers, yep. It's white pudding, which is not pudding, and black pudding, also not pudding. Both types of sausages. The black is blood. The white does not. Usually shot through with some kind of like an oatmeal or like that, grain like that. And, of course, tomatoes, or tomatoes, if you will, mushrooms, and I'm sure I mentioned beans, and toast. And all of this is together on a plate, and you're cutting into the eggy-weggies, and you're getting the yolk mixed in with all those things, and you're wondering, why am I having tomatoes and mushrooms for breakfast? But you are, because it's a full Irish breakfast, and it would not be a full Irish breakfast without it. And English people will recognize this. Scottish people will recognize this. Welsh people will recognize this. Hungover people anywhere will recognize this. It's a wonder. It's a great thing. And I finally found it at St. Mary's, which is a brand spanking new restaurant that just opened last week. In Metairie, on West Metairie Avenue. It's in the same little plaza just off of, what is that? That's by Clearview, where That's Amore Pizzeria is. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the space was previously Nephew's Ristorante, which I'm sad to say has closed. But the next place to take its place is very special. So St. Mary's is breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and behind it all is a really, frankly, uplifting purpose. I just, because of this restaurant, I learned about a place called St. Mary's Residential Community, which is a campus for people with pretty profound developmental disabilities, you know, severe autism, that kind of thing. And people live there, and they get a lot of services there. It's in Alexandria. It serves families from all around the area. I was not aware of it, but a man named Bob Hecker has a son, Christopher, who has lived there for about 20 years. And Bob is not a restaurant guy. He's a construction guy, has a roof tiling company. And he's really interested in giving back. And for years, he's done a fundraiser at Yale College Inn for St. Mary's. And they raised quite a lot of money. And it got him thinking, well, what if I could make this a permanent thing? And then he thought about his favorite breakfast place, which is Blue Line Sandwich Company in Old Metairie, on Metairie Road. Been there for about 10 years. A guy named Brad McGeehee started it, who coincidentally used to be the chef at Yale College Inn. And Bob loves the place, thinks the food's great, thinks the people are wonderful. He's correct in both counts. And so we approached him with an idea. Hey, Brad, let's start a restaurant. I'm going to back it. You're going to run it. And we're going to give a big chunk of the proceeds in perpetuity to St. Mary's. And so a new restaurant was born. So this functions as a conventional restaurant. You know, there's a menu, you order, you pay your bill, they make their money, people make their living, and then 15% of everything they make goes to St. Mary's. And it's also built in sort of a hub for people who care about that cause, about that issue. And if you didn't know that part at all, it would be a great new addition to Metairie with an all-day breakfast menu, a good lunch menu, and they're just starting dinner this weekend, but also a terrific cocktail bar, too, run by a fellow named Daniel Victory, who's well-known in the local cocktail scene. So that's a big win all around for Metairie at St. Mary's.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back. Do they do fish and chips?
They do.
Good.
Yeah, that is on their Friday specials list, yeah. It's not an Irish pub. It's not an Irish-themed restaurant, but they are filling some of the niches that people ask for a lot. So it's the kind of place you can get a great burger, you get chicken sandwich.
Legit Irish food.
It is.
Legit Irish food. All right, 9:22, more with Ian McNulty. We come back, WWL. Anything happens with LSU, you'll hear about it here first on WWL. But we're talking right now with Ian McNulty, covers food and dining culture for Times Picayune, New Orleans Advocate. Real quick, Ian, let me sneak this question in. Somebody wants to know about the Bougelot. Wait, I'll get it out. Don't say it. Bougelot. Damn it, say it.
Beaujolais.
Beaujolais Nouveau. That's it.
Beaujolais Nouveau.
That comes out the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Do I have that right or not?
It's the time of year. Yeah, this is you say Thanksgiving wine, and a lot of people immediately it's Beaujolais because it's a wine from France.
But it's new. It's like Steve Martin. It's fresh wine, is it not?
Exactly. Some of your freshest wine. Yes. Or it's great jerk reference. Yes. It is. It just so happens, you know, they don't actually celebrate Thanksgiving in France, it turns out, but they do celebrate the arrival of this new wine, Beaujolais Nouveau. You know, it's a very fresh wine that just hits, you know, comes out of the vineyards around this time of year.
So, is this a gimmick or is this a legitimate thing, or do people just do it as a goof? It's like, yeah, let's drink quote fresh wine. Or the new, seriously, I always wondered about that because it comes in these bottles that look like Mardi Gras almost, right?
Yeah, no. Some wines are best with some age on them. Some are best, you know, right off the vine, really. And this is one of those. And it's not a gimmick. It has definitely become a marketing hook because people associate it with Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. A flood of it hits the market right around the time when Americans start thinking about, what could pair with
turkey and dressing?
Yeah, Aunt Paula's turkey and Aunt Mary's oyster dressing. This is a very New Orleans conversation, sure. By the way. And melon casserole and some gumbo. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be rice on the table. It's going to be really soggy green beans. There's going to be some sweet potatoes lost under a quilt of marshmallow fluff.
Yeah, and don't forget the onions, side. The fried onion things.
Yeah, like what would pair with all of that? Is it going to be this expensive prestige Chardonnay? Is it going to be this big, heavy, mouth-coating Cabernet? Not quite. Let's try the Beaujolais. It turns out the Beaujolais works with all of it.
So it's a fun
thing. Inexpensive.
And it's fun.
It's inexpensive. Yes, it's delicious. It's tasty, and so yeah, that's the one that you'll see all over grocery stores and wine shops. And if you want to take a step up, just look for something that's called Gamay instead of Beaujolais Nouveau.
Okay.
It's in the same neighborhood, but it's just a little step up. And then you know if you want to sort of impress people by, hey, I went a little extra for the wine pairing, this is what you have.
Getting text saying it came out yesterday. Rouse's has it. Let's keep going with what you wanted to talk about, Ian.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I wanted to bring to mind a restaurant that is new. It's in Mid-City, and it's easy to miss, but you really shouldn't sleep on it. It's the times I've been, it's been fantastic. It's called Hot and Soul. Like, think heart and soul, but Hot and Soul. It's on Bank Street, right by the hospitals, but importantly now, right next to the new Trader Joe's. That new Trader Joe's that's on Tulane Avenue. If you're doing your road warrior routine in the parking lot of Trader Joe's, trying to find a space so you can get your everything but the bagel seasoning and your frozen egg rolls, you could look across that frenzied parking lot and see this little shotgun house that's a cute little restaurant now, Hot and Soul. And it's all over the map, really. The meal I had there could have come from three different restaurants. There was this really great shrimp ceviche. There were, something we talked about on the show earlier, lumpia, the mm-hmm. Filipino-style egg rolls. And then a dish that no one asked me about ever, but as soon as I say it, you're going to start craving it. I promise you will. Beef stroganoff.
Mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That worked, right?
Especially when it gets a little colder.
Yeah.
Gets a little colder. Yeah,
exactly.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a cold front coming. Think about
that.
They're making it with beef short ribs. They're making the egg noodles in the house, finished with some sour cream and some dill. And I had that with a cocktail made with beet-infused vodka and a bit of sparkling wine. And it was fantastic.
I'm thinking day after Thanksgiving, you get tired of all that stuff we were talking about with the Beaujolais Nouveau. Why don't you go over there and have some of that? Have some beef stroganoff.
Exactly. Yeah, you hit the refresh button on your palate.
Mm-hmm.
From there, you can have Filipino food. You can have this Latin American stuff. It comes from these two chefs. They're a married couple. They're big-time foodies. They've worked in the scene forever. I'm going to start listing restaurants that they had time at. You'll know them. Vega Tapas Cafe, Rio Mar, more recently Cure, Cane and Table, and Mimi's and the Marini, which is a great bar that had a late night tapas menu. Well, the chef has brought back the Manchego toast that was kind of a signature from Mimi's in the old days. That's now in the menu at Hot and Soul. Mm-hmm. And like I say, the menu is all over the map, but it has a unifying thread, which is it's really good food done by people who just have really curious, interesting palates. And it reminds me strongly of Mondo, Susan Spicer's old restaurant in Lakeview, which is sadly no longer there. In that, you know, you could go in. It's not one particular type of restaurant. It's not Italian, it's not Asian, it's not Latin American, but it's a lot of those things rolled up into one. And it's very cute. It's full of character, and it's mid range. It's approachable. It's easy. And just more people should know about it. And I was thrilled to have my most recent meal there. And frankly, I can't wait to go back because there's so much different stuff to dig into. And I know that what they're cooking is really good. So it's right next to the Trader Joe's off of Tulane. It's on Bank Street, but if you're at the Trader Joe's on Tulane, we're right next to it. And it's the kind of place that I love to find. It's like, you know, small, chef-run, affordable, doing really interesting, distinctive food that's not just the same old, same old. And just the flavors just did it for me. They blew me away, frankly.
Somebody wants to know about the Mosquito Supper Club. I hope I'm not making something up here. That
no, you are not. Right. Mosquito Supper Club is a very distinctive restaurant. It's uptown by the Martins, the original Martins of Verona over there. It's from Chef Melissa Martin. It started as a pop-up. Like a pop-up happening, not a pop-up like just cooking outside of a bar, but like we'll take over a space and we're going to put on this Cajun meal. Mm-hmm. Chef Melissa is from down the bayou and, you know, just in the, like the bayou Cajun culture is really thick in her veins, very distinct from the prairie Cajun culture of Lafayette and all that. We're talking, you know, southeast bayou culture. And she has recreated in a restaurant format the meals of her upbringing and her family. And so it's a lot of it's a different style of restaurant, though. It is the main act is a communal it's not a tasting menu. But it's a set menu, so you're paying a set price. I forget what it is, somewhere in the neighborhood of $100, and you're getting a progression of dishes. You know, a whole cast iron skillet of gumbo is going to come out. There's going to be rolls. There's going to be the menu changes.
Wait,
all the time.
Per table?
It could be you and your date sat at a table. Mm-hmm. It could be a table of eight sat together. Right. You know, a big group is going together. It could be two.
But you're not passing it. You're not passing it from table to table.
No. This is all per table. Yeah. Okay. But there is a circumstance where you could be sat at a group table where you didn't know the people around you. Mm-hmm. Until you had dinner with them, and then now you know them.
There's nothing wrong with that. No.
But it's stuffed crabs. It's shrimp boulet. It's real rustic Louisiana Cajun food. If you want to just dip in, there's a kind of a la carte menu that they serve, I think, at the bar, lounge, outdoor area too, where you can kind of put your toe in the water and sample it. But the setting is really nice. Like I said, it's right in uptown. It's in an old house. And it's minimally redone, so it feels like you're in one of these kind of, you know, timeless New Orleans homes. There's a screen porch. It's very charming. I highly recommend it for people who maybe are not familiar with Louisiana food but want a crash course in it. Like if you've got people coming in from out of town who are like, gosh, I would love to, you know, do that thing where we drive down the bayou and the shrimp boat's going down the waterway, and then you're on someone's porch and they're tapping their foot on the wooden planks and eating a gumbo. Like, I mean, sometimes people have this vision that that's what New Orleans is. No, that's what Cajun country is.
Right.
But here's a portal to it right in New Orleans. It's a lot of food that we're familiar with from New Orleans. But
I'm looking at an example menu, Ian, and it says lagniappe rolls, Maxine shrimp boulets, which I guess are little balls, like, right? Shrimp balls?
Yeah, fritters.
Fritters, there you go. Crawfish etouffee, farmer's market salad, fried stuffed crabs, which sounds delicious, and then ponchatoula strawberry pies. But that's an example. It'll probably be different every time you go.
Right, yeah. That'll be the format. It'll change with the season or what she's getting. But she's a master of sourcing, too. So she's getting, like, Higgins crab meat from down in Lafitte and really fresh stuff.
Anything else you wanted to mention, Ian, before we run out of time?
Just this is my favorite time of the year. This is the time of year when I want to stand on the brake pedal and slow time down, but it won't happen on its own. Go have some great experiences with people you care about around the Oyster Bar, at the cocktail bar, over some gumbo at a restaurant, go out, socialize. This is the time we've been waiting for all year long. It's Thanksgiving, and I'm so grateful for living in a community where people care about their culture so much and get to express it as easily as the next meal or the next drink. So cheers to everybody out there.
And we're thankful for you. I'm just making some notes here. Road Warrior Act, frenzied parking lot, write apology note to Trader Joe's. Okay, we'll do that. St. Mary's Restaurant, 4445 West Metairie, Hot and Soul, next to the new Trader Joe's. It's on Bank Street. And then you got the Mosquito Supper Club, 3824 Dryads. Thank you, Ian McNulty. Pleasure as always. Happy Thanksgiving to you and the entire McNulty clan.
I'll see you on the other side of the turkey, my friend.
You got it, sir. 9:40, 20 till 10. Taking a break. Coming back, WWL. All right, 9:47, 13 till 10. Quickly to JR with Take in Vegas. How you doing, JR?
I'm doing outstanding. We haven't exactly had the greatest of luck in football this year since, you know, I think it's been the last 5-6 weeks.
Yeah, but let me
just
say this.
A little bit of a rough patch. And I honestly say, man, on air, it's the worst run I've had in almost 11 years.
Well, and we're being honest, and somebody texted in and wanted to know, I put up $5K, we're down. I didn't lose any money. I still got some money left. It's been a rough couple of weeks, but it's a long game. I'm playing a long game with you. I'm not about to panic, this, that, the other thing. It's a good turnaround.
Yeah, it is, and college basketball is where it's at. We've hit 5 in a row in college hoops. I went 3-0 last night. I'm going to start feeding it to everybody, so very, very pumped up on our college basketball.
I know your
up.
Reputation with college basketball, my friend.
Man, we have done nothing but make our clients money hand over fist when it comes to college basketball every single year. I even got guys cheering me up, guys that have been with me for, you know, years. Hey, JR, I know it's been a bad run in the last 4 or 5 weeks in football, but, man, we have – all the confidence in the world. Of course, we think we're going to finish strong in college.
What did I just tell you? I just did the same thing.
It is the truth, man.
Yeah.
It is the truth.
I'm cheering you up, too. You're good to be all right. You can turn it around. I have every faith in you. Tell me what you like, what's going on this week.
All right, so first off, I love the game tonight, believe it or not. We don't very often make a move on a Friday night game. You guys know I'm always trying to tout you something big and, you know, Saturday and Sunday, but I love this matchup between Florida State and NC State tonight. Line 6.5. I'm going to give this to you absolutely free. Text the word win to the number 545454, and you get hit right back with the point spread winner of tonight's game. So if you're betting tonight, let's give you some insight. Let me give you a winner, something that you can really sink your teeth into. And let's get the weekend started strong. So Florida State, NC State, you get absolutely free. All you got to do is text the word win to the number 545454. That's win, W-I-N, to 545454, and you get Florida State, NC State, absolutely free.
Let me tell you what made me such a JR fan when college basketball rolled around is it doesn't have to be a sexy pick. I don't care if I don't know who's playing. So long as you're telling me what side of it to bet on and you're right, I'm happy.
And that's the way it is with everybody. It doesn't matter if we're using UC Monroe or, you know, if we're using Santa Clara. I mean, last night we had we got off to a good start with a favorite. We had Nebraska -8.5, which they tried to find a way to lose that game and not cover, but they were up 20 to start, wound up winning the game by about 12, so we got the easy cover there. Come in with an underdog with Wake Forest, another easy winner, and then Kansas State, another dog that won outright by 20. So, you know, college basketball is where it's at. These tournaments right now have a lot of mismatches, and that's what's going on. There's all these invitationals going on all over the country. You got the Maui Invitational coming up. So it's a great time of year for college hoops, and we're in the heat. We got about a week left of regular season college football, and we've still got more than a third of the season in the NFL. So do yourself a favor and let's make some money, guys. Text WIN to the number 545454, and I'm going to help you out, give you a winner tonight, and give you real strategy if you're interested in making some money this year.
The strategy that I like is a third of this, a fourth of that, take what this is and that, and bet with their money.
Correct. And as you saw, I mean, we make our increases when we're winning. We decrease, as you saw, while we were losing. I was lowering your bets. And as we continue to move forward and as we win again, like we did last night in college basketball, everybody gets to up their bets. I mean, 3 net winners yesterday. So most guys are upping their bets anywhere from 20 to 50% today and going into the weekend, which is strong. That means that we get to really attack not only the football, but the college hoops this weekend with bigger units than what we were using 2 days ago.
I'm all in with you, my friend. Tell me what you got for us on the air today.
All right, so last week I finally gave you guys a loser on air. There was only three, what was it? There was only three overs last week. Mm-hmm. Everything else went under. I gave you guys an under, and we lost with that San Francisco-Arizona game. Hey, that happens. We just came off four winners in a row. This week I'm going to go game side, and I should have used against them last week. I loved Denver over Kansas City, mm-hmm. and now this week I absolutely love the Colts. You want to talk shocker? I'm going to put it on air, man. Colts plus 3.5 at Kansas City is, to me, as easy as they come. This Kansas City team is not the same Chiefs team that we've seen the last few years who have gone to the Super Bowl. They're too reliant on one person, and that's Rashee Rice. And if he's not having a good game, they're not having a good game. So their defense, obviously very good, but this Indianapolis team has been scoring on most of their possessions, and it doesn't matter the defense. They've been getting at it. I think that they match up well. It's a great game for running back, and obviously we know who has the better running back. This is going to be a walk in the park. Not a walk in the park. It'll be back and forth a little bit. It is at Arrowhead, but I am expecting not only a cover, but I think the Colts can win this game outright.
Take us out, JR.
Guys, it's time to win and start getting some real strategy in place. And like I said, big winner tonight in college football. Let me start you off with a winner. All you got to do is text the word win to 545454. We'll give you the winner of Florida State, NC State on the house. It is, again, absolutely free, no strings attached. All you got to do is text win to 545454. Make sure you tune in on the weekends for our one-hour show, as well as go online and listen to our podcast, Bet Big Talk Loud. That's Bet Big Talk Loud, and let's go out there and make some money.
All right, JR, talk to you during the weekend.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.